1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. All right, let's get it. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those that are those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is the reading of God's word.
Ezekiel 34, 1 through 6 says this. I just want to read it to set the tone for where we're going in 1 Peter 5. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds. Thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. This is a scathing rebuke from the Lord to the shepherds of that day, to the people who are supposed to lead his people. It's a scathing rebuke, and you hear God just pointing the finger and say, you did not do this. You did not do this. You did not do this. And so I'll put that in context, because last week we talked about the pastor's heart, the shepherd's heart, the elder's heart. And this week, tonight, we're going to look at his duties, the shepherd's duties, what he does. And we'll do it from 1 Peter 5, and there's many that say that Peter, when writing this text, was meditating on Ezekiel. So you'll just see this connection between 1 Peter 5 and all of 1 Peter 2, Ezekiel, and we'll see it in regards to the shepherds. And it makes sense as he here in verse 1 of chapter 5 exhorts. He exhorts the elders among them. He commands the shepherd in his day. And so keep in your mind throughout this night of what the Lord said to the shepherds in Ezekiel 34 and then what Peter says to the elders, the shepherds in his day. So let's jump into verse 1 of 1 Peter 5. Looking just at verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. So this is Peter talking to this church from a distance. He's writing to them and he singles out the elders. And as he singles out the elders, it's for a particular reason and is connected to the so. And if you go back to chapter 4 of 1 Peter, you'll see that there's judgment that's going to come on the household. There's judgment and suffering. There's suffering throughout this whole book. But God said he's going to bring judgment on his own household. And it makes sense then that God would start with the elders of that household. So starting with the household, then he goes to the elders of the household. And that's what happens in chapter 5, verse 1. So he's going to start with the elders and he's going to charge them on how to elder, how to shepherd, how to pastor, how to lead. But before we even get to what they're supposed to and how Peter's going to call them to lead into shepherd, he's going to give them his credentials. Just hear these credentials. We talk about Jesus' credentials. We talk about Paul's credentials. Just hear Peter's credentials here. Think about his past. What's Peter's past? He witnessed the sufferings of Christ. He saw the suffering of Jesus firsthand. As he speaks to people who are suffering, one of his encouragements to them is that he saw firsthand the sufferings of Christ. He was with Jesus in the garden as Jesus is sweating drops of blood, as Jesus is betrayed by Jesus, as Jesus is crucified to a cross. Peter witnesses Christ suffering. And you go to his present. Who is elder in this present? What's happening currently with elder with Peter? He's currently an elder himself. He's an elder. He's eldering. He's pastoring a local church. He's shepherding that flock. So he says, I'm an elder just like you, so I'm going to speak to you as an elder. And then you go to his future. What's his future? He's a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And so he's talking to these men and women who are Christians saying, I'm going to be in heaven with you. I'm going to go back and I'm going to see Jesus face to face as I saw him previously. And I'm going to worship Jesus with you. That is his future. And so who can tell us how to lead a church? Peter can, right? Like Peter, before Peter begins to proclaim the good news of Jesus, he witnessed literally the good news of Jesus. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He watched his friend die on a cross. He walked into the empty tomb. He ate and talked with Jesus after his resurrection. And then Peter looks up in the sky, squinty-eyed, looking at Jesus ascend from earth to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. Peter can tell us how to lead the church, how to organize ourselves around the good news of Jesus Christ, because he experienced the good news of Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus' life, death, and resurrection firsthand. So he can tell us how to lead, and he does. This is how the elders are to lead. Verse 2. I exhort you, elders, to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. So what are the elders to do? They're to shepherd and oversee. They're to shepherd and oversee. This goes back to the multiple words used for the same man, the same office that Pastor Jim covered last week, that elder is pastor, pastor is overseer, that these are all words used for the same man, the same office. He's an elder, he's a pastor, he's an overseer. And one just helpful way to think about this is that what is the office? The office is elder. So the man holds the office of elder, but what then does he do? He pastors, he shepherds, and he bishops. Turn that into a verb. He bishops. He oversees. That's what he does. He pastors, he shepherds, and he oversees. That's what an elder does. Now, I go into then, what does that look like practically? What does it look practically for the elders of this church, for myself, for Pastor Jim, for Pastor Brent, for Pastor AJ? What does it look like for us to practically do this? First, I just want to tell you one thing. This is a beauty in plurality. We talked about last night that we are led by a plurality of elders. Why is that a beauty tonight? It's because I'm the only elder in the room. One is officiating a wedding right now in Dallas. Two are in Brazil, and I'm here. That's a pretty cool thing. We get to lead together, and we get to serve together, and we get to love this church together as a plurality. But what does it practically look like for the elders of this church to pastor and to oversee? And it's this framework. It's these four words. Elders know, elders feed, elders lead, and elders protect. Elders know the sheep, they feed the sheep, they lead the sheep, and they protect the sheep. That's what they do. That's what it looks like to shepherd and to oversee. You see in verse 2 that the elders are to shepherd the flock that is what? Among them. You know what that means? That must mean you know them, you're around them. You're not at a distance. You're not watching from a hill at a distance. They're among them. The elders are to be among them. This means knowing them. And then if you go back to that, pastors are under shepherds under the chief shepherd, then the under shepherd should reflect the chief shepherd. And what did Jesus do? He not only laid his life down for the sheep, but he spent his life with them. Constantly among people. He says in John 10, 27, the chief shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The under-shepherds are not better than the chief shepherd. That means the under-shepherds, the pastor, the elders of a church are not better than chief shepherd Jesus, senior pastor Jesus. The under shepherds must know their sheep, must be among their sheep, must, as Pastor Jim said last week, smell like sheep, right? I think that just gives you a good sign. That gives you a good visual. If like you talk to a pastor and he doesn't know anything about a sheep, he doesn't smell a little bit like a sheep, he's not weary with pastoring his sheep, then I don't think he's really among them. He doesn't know them. How I've tried to articulate this to our men over the years as we've raised up other elders, because plurality is not done with four. We want more men to love and lead and care for this flock. And this is what I call knowing the sheep. Nosy, but not controlling. That's what I think. I want to be nosy. I want our elders to know. I want them to ask questions. I want to be in people's business. I want them to live among this flock. But not controlling, right? We've got to be very clear on that one. Not controlling, because you go down to verse 3 and you see that they're not to be domineering. So they're not controlling, but they are intentionally involved in the sheep's lives. Now, this, I don't think is normative. It's definitely countercultural, right? You want your privacy. I want my privacy. We want to hide our weaknesses. We want to cover our sins. We don't want to walk in the light. So this is difficult, but a shepherd must push into a sheep, must get involved into the lives of a sheep and know the sheep and what's going on then. If you know myself, Pastor AJ, if we've ever talked to you, you know that we're just going to ask you questions, right? And then you're going to answer, and we're going to ask you some more questions. And you're going to answer, and we're going to ask you, did you actually... like, is that a true statement? Is that a true answer? We'll ask you if you're even telling us the truth, because we know you're tempted to lie. Like, okay, well, let's see. Are you really mean that? Is that a true thing? Why? Because we want to know the sheep. We want to know what's happening, what's going on with you, so that we can serve you and love you and lead you. One person has said that hard preaching leads to soft hearts, and soft preaching leads to hard hearts. I feel the same way about questions. I think soft questions lead to hard hearts, and I think hard questions lead to soft hearts. Being among the sheep, knowing the sheep, is essential for a shepherd, essential for an elder. So elders are to engage in relationships with church members. Now, I gotta say this, just in our church size dynamic, that doesn't mean I'm gonna know your favorite color, right? It's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna know your favorite color. I may not even know your dog's name. I'm sorry. I don't know Poochie. My bad. And if any of your dogs are Poochie, I really don't know you. And I don't want to know you. Don't name your dog Poochie. That's such as true that we're not gonna know every intimate detail about you, but it does mean that we're gonna be among you and live life with you. And ask you questions and be there for you and not isolate ourselves from you and lock ourselves into our offices where you can never get a hold of us, you never can ask for help, or you never can seek counsel. Like, nosy without controlling is one of the reasons why anytime you do a process at the Paradox Church, we make you fill out a form. And it's no three-question form. It's at least 50 questions. We want to know about you. We want to know the sheep. Like, we take it very seriously. We're going to be nosy, not controlling, but nosy. Elders are to know the sheep. Peter says, shepherd the flock among you. So know the sheep. Shepherding also means this, feeding the sheep. That elders are to feed the sheep. The chief shepherd, Jesus, told Peter face to face three times. He asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. And then after each time that Peter said yes, this is what Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs, feed my sheep. Out of love for Jesus, elders are to feed the flock. If you go to Mark 6, you see that senior pastor Jesus, the chief shepherd Jesus, he saw a crowd and he had compassion on the crowd. And it says, why does he have this compassion on this crowd? Because he sees them and they're like sheep without a shepherd. But then what does it look like for chief shepherd Jesus to shepherd them? It says this, he began to teach them many things. That's what he does. He sees that they're sheep without a shepherd, so what does he do? He teaches them. He feeds them the word. This is what elders are to do, just like the chief shepherd. Shepherds are to feed the sheep, to feed you the truth, to give you the truth. A big reason why we preach through books of the Bible is so that we don't skip around and we skip over things that are difficult for us and we don't want to deal with it. No, we want to go to the Word consistently and teach books of the Bible so that you might have a healthy feeding of God's Word over and over and over again. Even if this Sunday, another Sunday will not be like a home run, hit out of the park, but consistently over a long time, we are just going to feed you the truth again and again and again and again and again until I die, until Jim dies. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep feeding you. We're going to feed you the Word. Why? Because this is God's Word. We believe that. We don't think there's just some stories. We don't think there's many allegorical interpretations to this. We think this is who God is. It reveals who God is. This is what you need to feed on, so we want to give you this. It feeds you the Word again and again and again. To strengthen you, but not this. This is a temptation, especially in the South. The temptation is to say, yeah, I want to be fed and let me feast on it and gorge myself, right? And it becomes like this buffet kind of thing. Like, I'm going to keep feeding you and all you do is eat and you never do anything. Scripture is in itself is clear that you are to be a hearer of the Word. So feast on God's Word, enjoy God's Word, but you're also a doer of the Word. Like, this should be fuel for what God calls you to do. Not just so that you can feast on it and sit around and be like, I know a lot about this. No, it's fuel. Just like food is fuel, this is fuel that it would inspire you, it would lead you, it would empower you to do what God has called you to do, to strengthen you. Ezekiel 34, back to it said that the shepherds fed on the sheep. The shepherds fed on the sheep. And the woe to them is this: God is against them. Like, God himself says to the shepherds, I'm against you because you fed on the sheep. It's clear that God's shepherds are not to use the sheep for their own benefit, but they're to sacrifice for the benefit of the sheep. That we don't fatten you up so that we can eat you. No, we sacrifice our lives so that you can live. And more than that, praise Jesus, that's what he does. That the weariness I feel from the past 14 days of pastoring this church, like, this has been a rough 14 days, I'll be honest with you. The weariness I feel from that, there's two things that have encouraged me to continue to go, and it's this, that I'm not doing this alone, even though right now I am. Everyone has abandoned me. My three elders have abandoned me. But I'm not doing this alone. Why? Because this is what Chief Shepherd Jesus did. He didn't feed on the sheep. Actually, the sheep feed on him. That's why we take communion week in and week out, because we feast that his body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. That he laid down his life for the sheep. He did not take the sheep's life. Shepherds are to know the sheep and feed the sheep. And they're also to do this. They're to lead the sheep, to lead the sheep. They're to provide direction and discernment for the sheep. They're like Jesus in Psalm 23, where he leads us beside still waters and he leads us in paths of righteousness. This is what elders are to do, or to lead from place to place, where we're going, some direction, some guidance. Elders are to lead the flock, point them to Jesus, helping them to not stray. Leading them and growing in the image of Jesus, growing in holiness, leading in the next step of obedience, whatever Jesus is calling them to, leading the flock to confess and repent of sin, leading them to run to God as their refuge while they are in affliction, when they're in suffering. Elders serve by leading the flock. So they know the flock, they feed the flock, and they lead the flock. And then Peter goes on to say, but how do they do this? In what way do they do this? Go back to verse 2. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Not this, but this. Not this, but this. Not this, but this. John Calvin calls this the three enemies to pastoral ministry: sloth, greed, and lust for power. And that's what we see in this text. Elders to shepherd the flock among you, exercising oversight, but not in slothfulness, not in greed, not in lust for power. Willingly and eagerly shepherd the flock. This can't become begrudging duty, right? Just, I got to do this. I have to do this. Or more said like this: I don't want to do this. Someone will be mad if I don't. I got to do it. Not for money, but joyfully and sadly shepherd the flock. Now, this is where pastors get in trouble, right? Because seemingly from the outside, it can look like they're shepherding and overseeing very well. It looks good, but you don't know what is motivating them towards that. Why are they shepherding? Why are they caring? Why are they feeding? Why are they leading? And you don't know. And there's many pastors that it comes to the surface over time that what's driven them is greed. What's driven them is lust for power. What's driven them is that they have some woman's attention in the church because of their authority, because of their situation. And so she likes them, and so they get to feed them, and they get to continue to look like they're in good standing, shepherding and overseeing. But they're not. And it comes out that he's lazy, he's stealing money, he's committing adultery. So it can't be this, but this, not this, but this, not this, but this. To do this, Peter tells the elders, do this, but in the way that you do it from pure motives. So then he goes into leading. He says, not domineering, not lording, but leading, not controlling, but loving, as an example. As an example, examples of what we do as a church and how we operate as a church and then why we do what we do. That we'd be an example in how we live, in our life, and in why we live our life that way. In our action, and also what motivates that action. Working towards holiness in what we do and why we do it. So shepherd the flock, oversee the flock, know them, feed them, lead them. And in this way, this is what it looks like. And then verse 4 is the second thing I was telling you in my weariness that has just been food for my soul. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I praise Jesus that this is when, not if. If the chief shepherd appears, no. When the chief shepherd appears. That there's no question about it, that we get to sing that last verse of how great thou art just with pure confidence. Maybe he happens, maybe he'll come back. We're waiting, wanting him to come back. We're like the sad kid that the dad left, and we're sitting at the screen door thinking maybe he will come back. No, when he comes back, the chief shepherd will appear. That gives me great hope. This future look into what it's going to be gives me great hope in the present. It's a motivation for the present. Just as these other three things were not good motivations for why we do what we do, this is a good motivation that in the future, the chief shepherd will appear, elders, and he's going to give you an unfading crown of glory. Like Jesus is going to hand it to you. These past 14 days have been difficult for me, weary for me. Like sin just makes a wreck of stuff. Suffering takes its toll. Covering those in their suffering takes its toll. But in this, I'm reading again for the 50th time, 1 Peter 5, this afternoon, and I just begin to cry and thank Jesus that there's something beyond this immediacy of the sin and the suffering. There's something beyond this, and I can look above it, and I can see and fix my eyes on Chief Shepherd Jesus, that he rules and reigns perfectly now, and one day he will appear. And that in what feels so toilsome and so frustrating right now, and where I can feel my own sin be tempted to self-medicate or to run to something to find some immediate pleasure, comfort, escape from the current reality, I get to stop there and then look and fix my eyes on Jesus and say, one day, Jesus, you're going to come back. And I don't know exactly what this means, but you're going to take this unfading crown and you're going to hand it to me. And what a motivation that is. To disturb me, to continue, to not grow weary in doing good, but continue, to endure, to continue. The chief shepherd will appear. And then Peter goes on in verse 5, ending with what we will wear, what we must wear. Verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, I know in our society, and particularly the bulk of the generations in this room, just anti-authoritarian. I get that. So you read this verse and you're just like, no, I do not like that first phrase. Be subject to the elders. You're cynical about anyone that does have authority. You're opposed to submitting to others. But the Bible is clear that loving authority is a good gift from God. It is. I know the opposition that's in your heart. I understand. You're just like, no, I've seen it done so badly. I've been abused by those that had authority. Spiritual abuse from those that say that they're elders and I should obey them. I've been used by them. I can't submit to them. But if you've ever tasted any good, loving authority, you know how good it is. That it's a good gift. That those that would be in authority over you would lovingly lead you and care for you and protect you. That's what Peter calls the elders to do. One church membership covenant says this. I think it sums it up well. The members covenant and say, we submit joyfully to our leaders as our leaders serve us humbly. We submit joyfully to our leaders as our leaders serve us humbly. That's a beautiful agreement founded in this passage, on this passage. A failure to either one creates strife and conflict, but when they're working together, this is a God-honoring and a church-sanctifying way of life. And how does this happen? I think it's that next phrase. All of you, clothe yourselves in humility. If you go back to Ezekiel 34, the shepherds that were shepherding the sheep that God was speaking to and said he was against, they ate the sheep that they're supposed to be protecting, and they also used the sheep for the wool so that they could stay warm. So you can imagine Peter reading Ezekiel and seeing that the shepherds use the sheep for their own benefit to feed on and then also to use them for their own comfort. And Peter is saying to the elders in 1 Peter 5, clothe yourself, not by using the sheep, but clothe yourself with humility. Don't feed on the sheep, elders, but feed the sheep. Don't use them for your benefit, but clothe yourself with humility. This leads me to the last thing that elders are to do is to protect. Not use, not abuse, not eat, but to protect. To protect the sheep from straying, to protect the sheep from sin, to protect the sheep from heresy. This is what elders are to do. To hem you in a little bit when you're getting outside the bounds. To question you on your motives and what's going on in your heart. To check the teaching that's happening from group to group and in conversation to conversation, that we wouldn't stray into sin, that we wouldn't stray into heresy, but that we continue to run this race as a people, as the flock, leading us from here until we see Jesus face to face, the chief shepherd will appear. All this leads me just to praise Jesus. I praise Jesus because of my own inadequacy and how I don't live up to these four that Peter calls the elders to do. And I get to put my hope in that Jesus does. that Jesus perfectly knows the sheep. He knows the sheep inside and out. Where my questions try to get to know the sheep, Jesus already knows. And as I try to feed you, Jesus feeds sheep. He tends his lambs. He loves his lambs. And he leads you. And he protects you. And I have great hope in that. And I have great hope in a plurality of elders where this is not on one man's shoulders, but on four for the Paradox Church. Because if you know us, you know that some of us are good at some of these and some of us are not good at others. But we get to do this together. All this leads me to praise Jesus. And I'll say it this way. I'll say it using the words of Ezekiel 34. Jesus, O chief shepherd of the church who feeds the sheep, you sacrifice for their good. The weak, Jesus, you have strengthened. The sick, Jesus, you have healed. The injured, Jesus, you have bound up. The stray, Jesus, you have brought back. The lost, you have sought. And with grace and gentleness, Jesus, you have ruled them. So they're not scattered, but they were gathered because you were their shepherd. And they were protected from all the wild beasts. God's sheep were gathered. They did not wander over all the mountains and on every high hill. God's sheep were gathered because you searched and you sought them. Let me pray to Chief Shepherd Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for that. As you feed, you sacrifice, you strengthen, you heal, you bound up, you bring back, you seek out, you rule us with grace and gentleness. I thank you that you've gathered us, that you've changed us, that you've made us yours. And I ask for those in this room that have objections to authority, that have objections to you, that they would see you for who you are in this moment, that you are the perfect, loving authority. And you didn't wield it haphazardly. You didn't wield it to abuse others. You wielded it to serve and to love, to know, to feed, to lead, and protect. Thank you, Jesus. In Christ's name. Amen.